You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
We're so excited to be able to have Dr. Russ Moyer with us today. I want to welcome you to VFN TV. Welcome to VFN TV.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I truly appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate being with you and being with your audience. I know you go around the world and you're on the YouTube and all kinds of things.
It's amazing. I broadcast it on broadcast, which is the glory zone, we call it, and just on online, and internet, on YouTube. It's just amazing all the ways that you could do it today, because you were in television before.
Yes.
It was a little bit different then,
Completely different. And you know what? You have to be on the cutting edge, on a prophetic edge of what God's doing now.
Right.
In order for you to reach people where they're at.
Right.
And now, going out on all the social media, YouTube, saying the way you do, that's the way to reach. Yes. That's the future, and you have to be stepping into the future now.
Yeah, they have like 90% of YouTube's audience is not in America.
Isn't that
something? 90%.
Yeah.
That blows America away. They think, oh, we thought we was everything, right? And it's like, no, you're like 10% of the audience right there. We love hearing from our audience around the world. Asia's a big listener and watcher of VFN TV. Just everything is just so encouraging. We love hearing from you. As a matter of fact, make sure you listen. You're going to love Dr. Russ Moyer in this interview. So comment below, write to us. We want to hear from you. You know, you'll be really inspired, I believe. I'm always inspired when I talk to Russ. So listen. Now, first, I want to be able to ask you a couple questions, and I want to talk about your books while we're doing it as well. But I want to talk to you about, you know, we just mentioned, you know, the very lady who ordained you in ministry, you know, Ruth Heflin. A lot of people don't know about Ruth Heflin, but you know, talk to us a little about Ruth Heflin.
She was an amazing woman, and I was so impacted. I lived there at the campground the last year of her life, and she ordained me and launched me into ministry.
Where was located, the campground?
In Richmond, in Ashland, Virginia.
Okay.
And I still go there and minister every winter camp and summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
They're a beautiful camp that you can go to and visit, and camp meetings all summer long, and the whole month of February. It's a great place.
Every February?
Every February, and I, you know, I usually go there for a long weekend and minister on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I've been ministering there for 20 years, just about since I left.
Wow!
But it's an absolutely incredible place, and she was an incredible woman of God, and she had a revelation of the glory realm that was amazing.
Come on!
And awesome. I didn't care; it didn't matter if she was prophesying, yodeling, whistling. No matter what she did, she changed the atmosphere into the presence of God, because she has this amazing revelation about the glory. And her revelation, and the revelation that God gave her, was you praise until you feel the anointing come to worship, and you praise Him for what He's done and what He's doing in your life, and all the good reasons we have to praise Him for, our salvation, for our family, for our health, for all those wonderful things.
Gratitude.
Yeah, you praise Him for what He's done, but then once the anointing comes to worship, then you worship Him for who He is, that He is the King of glory, that He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords,
yes.
That He's put the whole earth together, and He has every hair on your head counted,
yes.
And you begin to just worship Him, and you worship Him until the glory comes, and when the glory comes, when His amazing presence comes, there's an ease in the glory.
Right.
Everything you need is in the glory. Everything is in that glory realm. Revelation is, healing is, freedom, liberty, deliverance is.
The glory of God.
It's in His presence.
So, okay, now you're maybe talking right now to somebody who hears what you're saying, but they don't understand maybe that this is, you're talking about an actual spiritual, literally you can feel it physically, encounter in these different levels. At first, it could be a sacrifice of praise at first when you start. So that might not necessarily, I mean, gratitude begins to happen, but tell them what you're feeling. I mean, the anointing, what's the difference? How do you know that when you shift from gratitude and thanksgiving and just praise, and all of a sudden...
You're praising, all of a sudden your heart begins to enlarge and your spirit begins to open. And as you feel that happening, then you just want to break out into worshiping for how wonderful He is, that He's your healer, deliverer, your, you know, all of these beautiful things of who He is, you know.
Right.
And then once you feel His presence, His manifest presence.
Right. Because He inhabits the praises of his people. So you're gonna feel his presence.
And sometimes we start to, you know, we'd be praising and we think, well, you know, are you here?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, are you kidding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? His name is faithful and true.
Right.
He said he inhabits the praise of people. You begin to praise now, bang.
Right.
And he said, anytime two or more of you gather in my name, he's with us.
Yes.
So he's here with us. We just had a moment of prayer before we started, and you could feel and sense the presence of God, and you knew that something happened in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
That's the anointing begins to come, but it's so much more the presence and the feeling that he's with you.
Right, right.
Oh, so
what we're meant for. It's the whole purpose.
Yes.
And so
from glory to glory.
Yes, and so here we are. You know, the anointing falls, and now it just takes your praise to a whole new level. Now you're worshiping, and just amazing things are taking place. But then, the tangible, weighty glory of God. Talk about that, because they just mentally think, okay, I guess it's time for the anointing. I guess it's time for the glory. And they don't realize you're talking about a physical, spiritual encounter with God.
Yes. And that's what it's really about, glory encounters.
Yeah.
It's about encountering his presence and the power that's in his presence, the power to change, the power to win, the power to heal, the power to save, the power to deliver, the power of the cross, the power of the blood, the power of the resurrection, to raise hearts and men's back to life, the restoration power of God. And we can access it in so many different places and ways. We have to know we've received all power and all authority.
Right.
But what is that power that we've received?
Right.
And then how do we access that power?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I actually, tangibly, apply it to my problem, to my life circumstance, to what I'm going through?
Right.
I have to apply that the same way I apply the cross. You know what, he died for everybody in the world on the cross, but everybody ain't saved.
Right.
Only those that applied by faith, by declaration, and by faith in their heart that Christ is with them then.
Right.
So you need to make a declaration. And so like if I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my finances, over my problems, over my family, over my home, I do it by declaration and proclamation.
Right.
Right? And when I begin to make those declarations and proclamations, believe in my heart that it's done, it is done.
Right.
Then the blood of the Lamb does cover my house.
Right.
Right? And all time and eternity is gone in the glory and the presence of God.
Right.
I can reach the whole world from the place that I am. I can be in the bedroom. And once I hit that place of nowhere in the spirit where Christ is and the presence of God surrounds me in that bubble, I can go anywhere in the world.
Right.
There is no more restrictions of time
or
energy, space.
So explain how you feel the glory of God. I mean, because literally people don't understand. It's not a intellectual thing. It literally is an encounter with a weighty presence. You know, it feels like I'm home. That the glory that I'm getting. It's the hug of God, the weightiness of God. That like this is where I want to stay. But yet sometimes we have to move into the things we need to do.
And it feels different. Every situation that you touch into and step into the presence, there's a little bit difference. Sister Ruth had a beautiful saying where she said that you can step into the river of God from the same point on the bank today that you did yesterday. But you're always stepping into a new place in the river. So when you come into his presence, when you come into his glory, one moment it may be the joy of the Lord.
Right.
The next moment you could be weeping and feeling his heart.
Right.
It's what's he doing once I get to the throne room, once I get into his
being
presence.
Connected with him,
I want to do what he's doing. I want to kiss what he's kissing.
Yeah.
I want to say what he's saying. You know? So it's like, however it is in that moment, dynamics, you can just tell that you're there.
Right.
And when you're there, you don't have to strive. You don't have to run. You don't have to work.
Right.
You just have to
be. There.
There's an ease in his presence. You know, sometimes we'll get into the presence of God in the midst of worship, and then someone wants to go somewhere else.
Yeah. You can feel it, too. He's like, what happened?
This is where we were headed.
Yes.
Let's just hang on to this for a moment.
Right.
And let's just soak in this, because a moment in his presence. Can change an entire life and do more than all the words you want. You talked about the intellectual side of it, and many times the presence of God, the anointing of God, the glory of God defies my intellect.
Yeah.
And it sometimes I have to defeat my own thoughts.
We submit our thoughts to the glory.
I was a businessman.
Same here.
You know, 2 + 2 is 2.
Right.
But 2 and 2.
Right.
In the glory realm could be 22.
Right.
You know, he has a different, a whole different way of math.
Right.
You know, I try to figure everything out and, yeah. you know.
He's always right.
Yeah. Sometimes, and I like, I'm a goal setting
yeah.
person, and I look
encourage
to the future,
everybody.
And
yeah.
I have a business mindset. Yeah. I'm entrepreneurial mm-hmm. by my nature and by the experiences that he's given me.
Right.
At the same time, I have to be willing to be spontaneous and let him move when he wants to move and do right. what he's doing and feel him and sense him. Sometimes he comes and moves in waves.
Right.
You can feel the presence of God come in different waves and you feel it come on and move. And what you have to do is get to that ebb and flow
and stay there.
Of where he is.
Yeah.
Find out where he is and touch him. And sometimes you get in a meeting, and because we're prophetic, I'll poke around a little bit
right.
and you think, hey, I really got a message here, or what's
right.
going on? But I'm just looking for what it is he's touching right then. Mm. And when you touch what he's touching, something happens when you do what he's doing.
A lot of people don't understand that because they're thinking, well, why did you pray for this person and skip four over? It's like, I'm not doing what I'm doing. I'm doing what the Father's telling me to do.
That's right.
Jesus skipped over a lot of folks and went to just certain folks, and because that's what the Father was saying. For his reasons, this is what he's doing. So when you follow what man's wanting you to do, and you pray for the one that God told you to, but then you start praying for the people they put in front of you, then all of a sudden you move out of the anointing versus just like, hey, he's flowing. If it means this person, I'm going to prophesy,
right,
and I go to the back of the room, just let me. And that's one thing that I remember Steve Hill was doing in the Brownsville Revival. I mean, and I've done it as well. It's like, people want to put people in front of like, I just need to follow God. Glory just drops.
Yes.
Because they think analytically, you know, here's Mrs. Jones, he's got this, and this is her problem, and, you know, and she needs prayer, and we have compassion for her, but we're not doing what we're doing. We're doing what God's doing in the glory.
And you know what's going on when you're under the anointing and in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on, but you're in that kind of bubble that you're
right.
trying to flow with him.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do when you see somebody in that,
right.
just guide them and,
right.
and then let the Spirit of the Lord right. lead them where they're going.
And what you find out, obviously, you know, we have seen this too, is that, you know, you get to Mrs. Jones after she sees the people God's touching, because then her faith's going to rise up, and she's not there just for an act of prayer, but she's there
That's
for
right.
belief.
That's right.
That she will be healed. And so faith builds when you go to what God's doing. It may be sporadic, but all of a sudden the entire group or community, whatever, all of a sudden their faith gets built, where now they have the same faith, same belief, you know. So, you know, when the glory was coming down upon us there at the Brownsville Revival, and that's the first time I felt it, like I felt the glory of God, like a hot oil pouring over me. At first it began by my ears, and it felt warm, and I'm literally under the glory of God, but waiting, and it's hot oil being poured over. I'm like, great. I got an earache in the middle of all this. And then the other one started getting warm, and then I felt the anointing oil of God just pouring over my body.
My.
It's the most awesome feeling. And that, you know, talking about the glory of God, I think about Tommy Tenney, you know, when the glory of God was coming down on a particular church, and they felt intellectually, the pastor felt intellectually that he was going to get up. It's just time to do the next thing. And so he gets up behind the podium to start talking. And literally, he gets thrown to the back of the wall, and the podium gets split in two.
Wow.
So you're talking about moving ahead of God when God's doing something. And God was just moving all over the place with his glory. And that intellectual thing comes up, and you're moving by task.
Yes.
And he got up to say something like, it's time to take the offering or something. And literally, he was thrown to the back. You know, people have the stage, then you have the wall back there. He got thrown to that, and the podium was split. And so he writes about that in God's Chasers.
Can you imagine how he must have felt right then?
Yes.
Wow.
We all need to learn. Don't get in the way of God's glory, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I believe I'm supposed to speak now, and I'm open to not speak if God doesn't want me to speak. Put some padding on that wall back there. I might go down. Well, so the thing about, I think about Gloria Heflin is that, you know, that one manifestation would happen, the glory happened, jewels, diamonds.
Everything happened.
Ruth Heflin, not Gloria Heflin.
Wonders.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Wonders and miracles like I had never seen before. It challenged my faith all over again. I'd already been in the Lord more than 20 years and had a traumatic experience, spent 3.5 years here in Pensacola, saw the miraculous presence of God change lives, bring backsliders home, people getting saved, healed, baptized in the Spirit. But when I walked in there, I walked into deeper water. And there was just something dramatic about the presence of God wherever she was, but particularly when she was in her place, imposter position there. It was beautiful. I
mean,
I saw
singing
the gold dust and oil and silver,
gold.
Oil flowing out of people's hands.
So oil?
Oh, my goodness.
Gold? Diamonds?
Sometimes there would be, when the oil started to flow, a lady was sitting in front of me, and an elderly black lady was sitting in front of me, and she was just as sweet as could be. We were talking. She pastored a small church in Baltimore, Maryland. And she turned around, and just then Sister Ruth began to prophesy, and then she started to sing. And the lady turned around, and she said to me, "What is this?" And oil was running from her hands. I said, "Whoa, the smell was amazing."
Oof.
It wasn't male, wasn't female. It was just beautiful. And it went through the room, and I looked at her hands, and I took her hand, and I went, boom.
Smart. Smart.
And we laughed together.
Right.
And it was amazing.
Right, right.
The things that happened that year defied my logic and my intellect, because I'm a logical person. One of my favorite scriptures is, let us sit down and reason together.
Right.
The Lord spoke to me one day and said, "Hey, don't let the spirit of reason keep you from the greatest miracles that I have for you."
So many people miss God because they take their human. And he says he frustrates the intellect of the intelligent and the wisdom. What he does, I mean, we need it, but it submits to what he's doing. So many people miss God because they're trying to figure out how it's going to happen for them. They're trying to help God. You know, Judas was trying to help keep the movement going, right? He went up the street, cut a deal. Jesus said, things are going to be changing. And look what happened. He not only missed it, he betrayed God himself. But he made alternative plans. And he started thinking. And it's like, that's not, you can get in trouble by you know, using your own reasoning as if God fits within our finite mind.
I mean, he says, be led by the Spirit.
True. Those are
sons of
God.
Not by the soul.
Yeah.
Not by your mind, will, and emotion. Not by your intellect and your logic. But by the Spirit.
And those have to be renewed and submitted, what you just listed, the wisdom, intellect, the mind, soul. But the Spirit's right. Those that are led by the Spirit are sons of God, right? Wow. And so the weighty glory of God. So the reason why I say that about Ruth Heflin is that, you know, if you would see Ruth Heflin, you know, you just, you know, everybody thinks you got to be all prettied up and all these different things going on. The most beautiful thing in your life will be the glory of God. I'm saying, she's like, if you want to look good, get in the glory of God. And remember, the reason why they're thinking you're attractive, it ain't you. Mm-hmm. And when they all run up and said, "I think the Lord's telling me I need to marry you," like, no. You know, where people get so drawn to the glory and drawn to the anointing. But literally, she's so beautiful, you know, because of the glory of God. And she just look up and she'd begin to sing her songs and the glory would come. Well, I think about that because God spoke to me specifically about the coming great harvest. Mm-hmm. And I was in my secret place where I seek the Lord and get away from the voices of men. And all of a sudden I had this vision with God, you know, dream vision, where I'm actually sitting up on the bed that I was sleeping in, and the spread was, bed was made up, so it was a spread right there. And all of a sudden God hands me this whistle. And he says, "Blow this whistle." It's like a big glass thing. And I blew it, and just air went through it. And I didn't hear any whistle sound. And I went, "Okay, you know." And he goes, "This is going to take diamonds." And I went, I was shocked. "Ooh, diamonds, right?" And I'm sorry, we're right. It's right, faith. So I held my hands over the spread and said, "Diamonds be." And all of a sudden, there's rough diamonds, but all these diamonds appeared. And I took them all, gathered them the way you would on a spread, right? And I'm pouring them down in this whistle, big whistle. And I said, "This is great wealth," which I was more than happy to put in there. And then as I was doing that, the people just started coming from everywhere, literally forcing their way in. The harvest was coming from so everywhere. And I'm thinking, I got to write this thing. If I don't write this thing, I'm in it still. But I'm thinking, I'm going to lose what just God said to me. I got to write this down. So I'm trying to be nice, because if you get offended or get angry, then the Holy Spirit will lift. But I'm still in this encounter with God. So I'm saying, can you mind leaving for a little bit? You know, I'm picking people out, you know. Can you get it? And I finally get the door. I'm literally pushing the door closed because so many people are coming. And then they take the door off the hinges. And so I literally have to push the door back, and I get them there. And all of a sudden now somebody was coming out of the closet. They actually went into the closet during that time. and brought them out, because they're all wanting God.
Yeah.
And God was showing me specifically that his whistle is going to blow great wealth. God, there's people out there right now that has great wealth, and that God wants them to begin to move it into the kingdom for his whistle. His whistle is all the different things that he has set up to be able to pour into. But when that whistle blows, when that prophetic voice goes, when that television goes, everything God's using to bring it, it's going to bring the huge harvest in. Well, no, here, reminding me about Ruth Heflin, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Because I'm like, you know, it wasn't gold, it wasn't cash, it was diamonds. You know?
Yeah, there were diamonds and emeralds, all kinds of things. But you know what? We're in a season, just like you were talking about, and that whole revelation that you had.
Yeah.
I believe that they're going to come out of the closet. I think they're going to come out of the woodwork as they begin to see the miraculous power of God. Mm. And the kingdom wealth building is just getting ready right now. You can see kingdom wealth builders around the world beginning to merge together and come together, begin to get the strategy of God for this hour and season so that provision for the vision can come.
Yes.
We're seeing kings and priests walk together.
Yes.
We're seeing the things happen that we've heard prophetically over the last 20 years come to pass right now. We are in the greatest season of the history of the church.
Yes.
We just stepped through the threshold of the greatest moment in history, the greatest battle in history, and the greatest harvest in history. We're inside now. We just crossed over the threshold. There's a battle that's raging all over the earth between good and evil.
Right.
And there's all kinds of things that are going on, not just in the Middle East, not just in Israel, not just in Washington, D.C., but right here in the streets of our city and in the hearts of our children, and even in our own hearts right now. And every shift of the Spirit, as we get closer to this moment that you and I are called for, that this season where we're going to usher in the second coming of Christ, there's going to be a moment of time that every single shift is going to bring a plumb line.
Yes.
And you're going to have to get closer and deeper and higher in Him and release those old things. And that plumb line is dropping in every heart. Right. In every city, in every family, in every nation. And there's a battle of good and evil that's going on inside of each one of us. And it's totally bringing us to the fullness of consecration. Until we can step into His presence, into the fullness of the destiny call that's on each one of our lives.
Awesome.
What a moment we're in.
Ooh, praise God.
We were born for this moment.
Yes.
We were born for this. We could have been born any time. We could have been born during the times of Paul. And some people say, hey, I wish I would have been with Paul.
Right.
Maybe you didn't read the whole story.
Right.
Did you read the whole book?
Right.
Paul's, you know,
in the prison,
Paul's cheering us on.
Yeah,
he'd to be where we're at.
Right.
We are that generation that was ordained.
Yeah.
You know, to usher in the second coming of Christ.
Mm.
Some people say he's looking for the first century church.
Mm.
No, he's looking for the 21st century church. That's going to, the church that's going to reap the great harvest. He had the first century church that had the power to birth.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to be hit with the power to build as well as the power to birth. And we're going to build something that's going to be absolutely incredible, an atmosphere so that Christ can come and enter again. We're going to prepare the whole earth. We're going to manifest heaven and the earth. It's, we are stepping into an amazing, amazing season.
Sons of God. Oh my goodness.
That was a great time.
That's awesome.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.